Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Oh, once again, we've been blessed by a great God to arrive safely here at Great Commission for our Sunday school lesson. We're starting a new lesson this morning, and the name of it is From Heaven's View. From Heaven's View. It has a subtitle, God Bringing His Children to Glory. Don't y'all know if we've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that's what he's doing?
Yes, Lord.
He's bringing us to glory, people.
Amen.
It's hard to see once God saves you why people look for that glory on this earth. It's not here.
That's right.
It's not here.
Right.
It's not in any material item you will ever possess. It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a God-shaped hole, family.
Amen.
And only God can fill it.
Only God.
On page 8, we're going to start this lesson off by reading the testimony of the writer of this lesson.
Okay,
where on the left-hand side there where it says, giving glory to God. Everybody got it? All right, and it reads, God used physical illness, and he does that sometimes, people, to bring this message to us. But the message really isn't about illness. My wife's mother developed cancer at age 43, and we cared for her during her last year of life. As we approached her last days, death seemed somehow unfit for children of God. Blessed, her faith steered us through the dreadful seeming finality of death. Then my wife, Laverne, also developed cancer in 1983 and had surgery and chemotherapy. When I first heard that dreaded word cancer, I was horrified and frightened at the idea of losing my life companion. The finality of that loss was a bottomless pit I could not face. God gently led Laverne and me to study 2 Corinthians. And through this experience, together we entered a new glory with God's own spirit. When we reached the end of the chemotherapy, Laverne declared that if she had the choice of not having cancer and therefore not learning what we had learned, or of having cancer with the new glories we now knew, she would prefer the latter.
All right.
Let's look over on page 10, y'all. We're going to finish this testimony up, then we'll get into the lesson. All right, page 10. It said, we had somehow achieved a new glory in our relationship with each other. We had discovered that spiritual glories, new insights, and the comfort of the Holy Comforter are far greater than physical comfort.
Yes.
Knowing that both my mother and grandmother had battled cancer, the idea that it could visit me in my golden years was back in my mental file drawer.
Yes.
But I was stunned to encounter this disease at the age 42.
Mm-hmm.
With 6 children still living at home. That's rough, y'all. Imagine that situation in your mind's eye now. Our first prayer was for faith to go through this in a way that would please God.
Mm-hmm.
When we asked for prayer, Gary Fradley, a dear pastor friend, replied with a profound note. I have come to see that though there are 3 types of sickness,
mm-hmm.
for chastisement,
yes.
for the glory of God,
yes.
and to death,
mm-hmm.
the only one that we should focus on is for the glory of God.
Okay.
If it's for chastisement, then the Lord needs to communicate to us what it's for.
Yes.
If it's to death, we may not know for some time.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we focus on giving glory to God,
yes.
then whatever the situation,
mm-hmm.
he'll be pleased.
He'll be praised.
Yeah. In times like this, the nearness of our God is what we seek.
That's right.
May his grace be with you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
This note became our anchor. That was a prayer from the pastor now
right.
to these people going through this time. So.
Yeah.
This note became our anchor. Focus on giving glory to God was something I could understand. This became our prayer for faith to see him, to focus night and day on his glory. Losing my hair stripped me of any feeling of femininity and made me feel unworthy of my husband's love and attention. This experience, oddly enough, would later become our greatest source of love and joy. After the months of chemotherapy were completed, I had the first mastectomy. The doctors told us not to remove the bandages for several days. I began to dread with loathing the time when I would have to look at the scar.
Right.
I didn't want to see it. I didn't want Steve to see it. And afternoon came when we both knew the time had come to endure the torture of taking off the bandages. I suddenly knew that I could not go through with this, and I collapsed in intense grief. How could I ever be Steve's wife again? How could he go on with me, bald, maimed, eating up with cancer? I had nothing whatsoever to offer Steve that a wife would want to give her husband. Struggling to speak, I gasped that I was so, so, so sorry. In the next moment, God revealed to me love as I had never understood it before. Steve put his arms around me and held me tight. He too was overcome, but for a very different reason. Holding me up, he hoarsely whispered, "Melena, I love you because that is who I am." In that moment, my universe changed. I saw in my husband a picture of the Lord Christ, the bridegroom of the church, who loves us because that is who he is. Steve's personal identity is the man who loves Melena and is giving himself and everything he has for her. Christ's personal identity is one who loves his church, his bride, and has given himself and everything he has for her. God has immeasurably used this affliction for our best. For he continually causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28, y'all. In every way, we're more than conquerors. When we see from heaven's view, All right, let's go back to page 8, y'all. A new perspective, day 1. We're going to start out with a new perspective. And we all should be trying to achieve that. That perspective is to see things the way our Lord sees them.
Amen.
To see things down here on this earth the way our Lord sees them.
That's right.
All right, it's that each of us has been influenced by our upbringing, our education, our culture, and our experiences to view life in a particular way. An ongoing life of discipleship requires that a believer grow in the ability to see life from an eternal perspective and to evaluate experiences according to God's purposes and priorities. From heaven's view challenges you to see all of life from God's perspective. Seeing life from heaven's view will enable you to grow more like your heavenly Father in thought and character to become attuned to his plan for the world, to cooperate with his purpose for your life, and to grasp the reality of the glory he offers each of his children. Your goal for week 1 is to begin breaking free of your culture-bound perspective and begin understanding and adopting heaven's view. Don't y'all know we do have a culture-bound perspective?
That's right.
The way we think is based on what we see in this culture and what the culture thinks. The things they call important, we say are important.
That's right.
The things they say are obsolete, like God and Christ. Sometimes we fall into that category. We have to watch ourselves with that. He said we must put him first.
That's right.
First. And everything else will fall in place.
That's right.
So we must remember that, y'all.
That's right.
All right, at the end of this week, you'll be able to identify what it means to see from heaven's view.
Okay.
Identify ways you can benefit from developing heaven's view.
Mm-hmm.
Identify facts about God's creation of angels and humans.
Yes.
Label 4 steps in God's process of bringing you to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Describe God's work in your life as a continuing process and define your life goal in terms of sharing God's glory.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is heaven's view? That we need to get that straight first.
What is heaven's view?
Amen. And we're on page 8, y'all, in the bottom right corner. What is heaven's view? Let's begin this week's journey by identifying what it means to see from heaven's perspective. In the list that follows, underline key phrases that describes heaven's view.
Okay.
Seeing from heaven's view means the following. Viewing my dreams, frustrations, hurts, ambitions, secrets, fears, lusts, and loves from God's perspective so that I can understand them as he does. As he does.
Right, right.
See, and we can figure out, instead of us always asking why,
mm-hmm.
when we get closer to God and start viewing things from heaven's view,
right.
you know that offhand. You know why it's coming about, and you can handle it accordingly.
Amen.
Accordingly. In Jeremiah 9:24, it said, let him who boasts of this. That he understands and knows me. That sounds so simple on a job, but it's so profound.
That's right.
There's so many who say they do that don't understand. Do not know him.
Are
lost and deceived. The devil have deceived them to a point where they think they okay with God.
Amen.
And just don't know they in a dog fight with God.
Yes, sir.
In a dog fight with him. All right, let's page 9, people. Page 9. Understanding his specific, we still into viewing things from heaven's view.
That's right.
Understanding his specific reason for creating me and thus my ultimate purpose in life. Now is it making sense to y'all why the lesson we just finished up with, why it's so important that
right.
we view Genesis as history
right.
and believe what God says and why he did it?
That's right.
From his purpose for our lives. Alright, knowing God the way he designed me to know him, so that my prayer and worship begin to mirror the beauty of holiness that exists in heaven.
Amen.
He wants us to live right here on this earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said in his high priestly prayer.
Amen.
As it is in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
That's what we should be striving for right now, today.
Amen.
Today. And if we're not, how do we deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be great. But you can't live heavenly right here. It does not work like that, people. God does not change. He's not going to change anything to suit you. You better get on this program. You line up, absolutely, Pastor. You line up.
That's right.
Aligning my emotions with God's emotions so that his love and grace becomes my priority.
Amen.
Seeing how God values the long process of bringing me to glory.
Long process.
See, that's what it is. It's a lifelong process, people.
That's right.
From the time God saves you, people, you start to see a lot of the reasons why things happened before he saved you.
Right.
And it was all a part of his plan.
That's right.
To bring you to glory.
Amen.
To bring you to glory. Stay on. And some people still choose to fight against it.
Because
they want it their way.
Amen.
They want to get the glory, but they want to get that their way.
Amen.
They don't want to ride in a buckboard wagon. They want to be in a Rolls Royce on the way to heaven. You know, you don't get to determine that, people.
Amen.
I valuing every person in my sphere and realizing my personal need for each one.
Okay.
See, we got this pride issue that we deal with, y'all.
Right.
And it came from Adam.
That's right.
It came all the way back from Adam.
That's right.
We got a pride issue that we deal with that where we don't want to put nothing down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to let anybody be or have anybody be even as important as I am. You see, so that's the issue, people. God want us to see. You want to be first when God looked down on you. You want him to put you first.
All right.
But you're not willing to do it for anyone else.
All right.
I mean, the people that are right around you, that you live with every day, that are in your sphere.
That's right. That's right.
You might say you do,
mm-hmm.
but do you really? Do you really? Would you cut that ham sandwich in half, cause somebody else hungry, or you got to have the whole thing because I'm a good side man and I need all this to fill me up? See, thank you, Miss Pat. Perceiving suffering from inside God's heart.
Yes, sir.
Boy, if we do that, don't you know we wouldn't have a hungry child or adult nowhere in the world if we just did that?
God's heart.
From God's heart. All right, as I grow to understand what endurance accomplishes in my spirit, I eventually treasure trials because of what they produce in me. Come on now. Here we go. I mean, don't get me wrong. We don't just glory and welcome suffering. But if we realize what it's for and what it produces in us, we would handle it a lot better. We wouldn't, like Pastor said, had a pole mouth all the time. Because we know there's an ending to this. There's an ending to it, and then there's a lesson coming out of it. All right, now viewing Satan, sin, and temptation the way God sees them. Oh, boy. If we could just do that now, look what sin caused God. Caused him his son. Look what it caused him. If we realize what sin cost us, we might handle it a lot different.
That's right. Yeah.
Sin has cost us a whole lot, people. Physically, mentally, definitely spiritually, emotionally. Sin has done this. Whether we want to admit it or not, it was that sin that we love so much that's got us in the places we are now. That we are now. We need to accept that because God can deliver us from them.
Amen. That's right.
All right, this gives me tremendous motivation to hate wickedness, have greater faith, and flee from or withstand temptation.
Okay.
See, if we'll do that, people, that's we right. See it coming because we know what triggered us from long ago. And we still invite those same triggers into our home. It may be family members, lifelong friends, certain things we know we shouldn't have that we might want to eat. It may be something that simple, but it's a trigger into a gluttonous spirit that we know is not good for us, but we do it anyway. We do it anyway regarding death with the same joyful anticipation that God has in contemplating our graduation day. Boy, I just shouted when I read that. Looking at death as a graduation day.
Come on now.
A graduation day, that's a day of joy. You know, I got a chance to see my older daughter graduate from college. I ain't seen much of that. I don't know, maybe y'all have. I ain't seen much of that in my family, y'all. College graduates, they don't come a dime a dozen in my family. And my daughter accomplished that. Now, per this lesson, from heaven's view, death is a graduation day.
From heaven's view.
So that means moving on to the next stage.
That's right.
In life.
Eternal life.
Now, how that sounds so just backwards that death could be another step in life.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It is. Thus, death becomes precious to us as the pathway to glory. Just as it is precious to him. Y'all know death is precious to the Lord. He said the death of one of his saints is precious in his sight. We go to be with him, people. This Lord that saved us from this sin issue that plague that's plaguing right now this world. He saved us from it. He didn't save us from poverty, y'all.
No.
He didn't save us from bad health and hurt. That was not the problem. Now, he does that. Don't get me wrong. He does that. He can do anything. But that wasn't his reason for coming here and letting wicked men nail him to a cross.
All right. Yes, sir.
That wasn't the reason. It wasn't. It was to save us from that sin problem that spiraled this world out of control from the start. He fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
He fixed it, people.
Amen.
All right. If you really learn to see everything from God's perspective, which benefit do you think would make the greatest impact on your life?
Mm-hmm.
Please check mark beside the benefits. Okay. Check a mark beside the benefit. And that's why we reading this lesson. See, this is an active working lesson, people.
Yes.
And I mean at home on your own time. Don't wait. Please, anybody doing it, let's just repent and try to get out of that habit of picking up the word of God on Sunday and thinking that's enough. God wants us to commune with him.
Amen.
To be with him 24/7. And you can do that. Oh, you should never be in a situation where God is not welcome.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Where he's not there. As a matter of fact, it should be a frightening thought that you ever in a situation where God is not there. That should be frightening to each and every one of us, y'all. I see it from God's perspective. Part of gaining heaven's view is learning to see from God's perspective. What would it be like to live each hour of the day seeing your words, choices, reactions, prayers, temptations, thoughts, views, and feelings from the perspective of heaven? What would it be like to see the Father as Jesus does, or to view Jesus from the perspective of the Holy Spirit? What would it be like to worship God with the same respect he has for his own glory? What would it be like to see the beauty of holiness? If I could see from God's perspective, wouldn't his promises become solid reality rather than tenuous prospects, because I would intimately know his integrity? See, we need to realize, family, God is a holy God. He's holy. And his holiness is very important to him. Our holiness is very important to God. So when we're doing unholy things and living unholy lives, view it from God's perspective.
How do you feel about it?
View it. Ask yourself, what would the Lord think about this that I'm doing right now?
That's
a good question, people.
That's right.
And you'll find probably 9 out of 10 times when you ask that question, you'll be by yourself doing something you know you ain't got no business doing. It's not about what the crowd see. We have a tendency to change our behavior when eyes are on us.
That's right.
But what we need to truly realize is that eyes are always on us. He sees all. That's why his perspective should mean so much to us. It wouldn't make a difference to see Satan from the perspective heaven season. Huh? Would that make a difference? Okay. If I could see the vileness of even mild sin, the way the saints in heaven and angels and the Holy Spirit do, how would I be different? How would I counter temptation? Those are good questions. Anybody got any questions or comments? Now, okay, let him get you the mic here, Roy, so we can pick it up, man. And that's a great question, people. How will we counter those things? Come on, Roy. Another realm. Yeah, well, that's what happened. The only thing dies is these bodies, Roy. The only thing, our spirits go somewhere else regardless, whether you know God or not. But now what we tackling with this from heaven's view is whatever we may be doing right now, whatever we may be doing in our private lives, in our public lives, do you think it lines up? Do you think it's okay with God?
Okay, right.
Or do we do like most of the world do, say, well, God, you know, God know I'm not perfect. Do we do that? God know my heart. He knows I'm not perfect. He knows I'm flawed. Do we use that to a point? And he does. I'm not saying God don't. But God gave us the power to overcome sin, people, and are we overcoming it? See, from heaven's view, we how God see it. Even the lesson said, my sin. And God, the angels, the saints, how they see it. We should be trying to picture sin right here on earth the same way.
That's right.
Well, I do that, but what I'm trying to do is, if you can see all the sin and you mild sin,
And that's the way it should be, Roy. That's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely, he do want us humble, Roy. He want us humble. He want us overcoming as well.
Amen.
He want, so you're right. God knows none of us are peaches and cream. Amen. You know, if we were, we wouldn't need this grace and that he has.
That's right. So, amen.
Come on, Brother Pill.
I like what you said about graduation, the way that you described that as the believer actually graduating.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, because of sin, we all have to die. Oh, mm-hmm. Thank God. But Jesus Christ has provided an escape of death by giving us an eternal life.
Praise God. Praise God.
Job and Paul both said that death was a graduation. It was a promotion. Death as just another phase of life, which was better than life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And God has equipped believers for that. But unfortunately, everyone has to die.
That's right.
And if you die in that sin, then you'll end up in an alternative place, but you'll still live.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
To have perspective of heaven's view.
Mm-hmm.
When you live, when you was out there in the sin like I was,
mm-hmm.
and then when the Lord saved me,
praise God,
I see things different. Entirely different.
Yeah, yeah, the world looks different.
I said this world looks different.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Praise
I start understanding about fornication,
mm-hmm.
You know, you start looking at everything, lying,
mm-hmm.
you know,
absolutely.
You wrong.
Absolutely.
You start
at all of that. Absolutely.
You know, and I just thank the Lord to open my eyes. You know, I'm not there. None of us there yet. That's what I understand.
That's right.
But we're striving.
That's right.
I tell people, I'm striving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm striving.
Yes,
that's
Lord.
Right.
I'm following. I'm looking.
Thank you, Lord.
Praying.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to go. I want to be with my Father when I close these eyes.
That's right.
And you got to have to, you know, you got to put something in.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ Jesus. And I'm going to die in Christ and without him. And this is what I say. This is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to die in.
That's right.
I'm
going to
die without him.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
How long it takes me to strive in him.
That's right, Chuck.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Well, we must, and that is great. That's all of our goal. That's all of our goal. The Apostle Paul said he had got to a point where this world and the sin of this world would beat them up so much. He said he'd rather go. He were ready. He were ready to go, but it was more expedient that he stay here and write these great words for us in this day. And I'm glad he did, but he understood there. That's right. Yeah, he give us that peace, Roy. And I look at my life the way it was and the way it is today, and I hate it even more. Because the closer I get to the Lord, the further I realize that I am. Now, it ain't what it used to be. I be the first to say that. It's not what it used to be. But it ain't nothing like I want it to be. Cause Jesus lived on this earth without sin. Therefore, I know it's possible.
That's right.
So anything I do, even in thought,
right.
I'm falling short daily.
Every day.
So we got to continue to strive and pray
right.
and believe that God is an overcomer.
Amen.
You know, and we are. We more than conquerors through him. In him.
In him.
In him.
All right.
It says, imagine yourself viewing sin from God's perspective, and how would his point of view differ from our typical understanding of human evil? From heaven's view, y'all, the vileness of sin is shown under the light of a thrice holy God.
That's right.
So when you look in it, anything wrong, I'm talking about the slightest bit off, under perfection, then you see just how vile sin is.
That's right.
When you're looking at it on the perspective, on the perfection. Now, if I look at what I do compared to what Pastor Dan be do, and he is a little worse, then mine don't look so bad. But that's not the plumb line. Luna did a message here, y'all, a while back called Jesus is the plumb line. Nailed it. It should have shown everybody just how far we are from what the Lord expects of us. What he expects of us. We don't have any excuses. He came here and lived the example. We can no longer say it can't be done. That's impossible. That's why a lot of people try. They got a doctrine out there that says ain't no way Jesus could have lived without sin. They trying to discredit that, but it's been done, people. So it's not even a question of if it can be done. That's out the wonder. It has been done. And just by his grace, he imputes it to us. He imputes it to us. It's not an easy thing to do, people. It's not easy to get up and go your first 10 minutes without sinning.
That's right.
Believe it or not, because we're talking about in word, thought, and deed, y'all.
That's right.
So that's almost an impossibility in itself.
Yes, Lord.
So we need him, in other words.
Amen.
We need him. His grace is boy, what would we do without him?
Amen.
Said, did your response indicate in some way that God's view of sin would be profoundly different from ours? This entire study would be an exercise in seeing from God's perspective. Many books, sermons, and personal studies begin with a me-ward perspective. How I can please God. How I should pray. How I should treat my spouse. How I can be organized or lose weight. We're predisposed to tune our perspective. That's our point of view. From that of the world.
That's right.
Me here and now. And look upward, inward, or outward from ourselves. See, we put too much stock in ourselves, people. And we are important, but the only reason I'm important to me is because I'm important to God.
That's right.
That's it. That's why I'm important to me, because I'm important to God.
That's right.
If it wasn't for that, people, it wouldn't be nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. Just another object roaming around on this earth.
Amen.
Just like a possum or a raccoon and running across the street at 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky enough to make it across the street, it's just, you know, that's people, we just have to see things for what they are.
Right.
We are the apple of his eye.
All right.
And we should live that way.
Amen.
We should live that way. We should use the authority that he has given us.
Amen.
True enough.
That's right.
But
right.
Let's not try and take his glory. It's his authority. He gives it.
Amen.
All right. Name as many examples as you can of how our me-ward focus appears in modern society. Wow. Plan to discuss your list with the group. Okay. Just a few of my head, y'all, was self-preservation.
Okay.
That you've been hearing that long as you've been old enough to hear. Look out for self first now. Self first. And it starts with me. If I put anything or anybody before me, then I'm a fool.
That's right.
You know, that's worldly thinking, though. Love yourself. Self-esteem. All these things the world call important. That's worldly, people. That's worldly. And what our Bible tells us about the world? It said, love not the world or the things of the world. And if you do, I ain't in you. That's what the Lord says. If you love that, then I'm not in you.
Amen.
You know, if you're not able, okay, and we have a lot of divorce in our society today.
Yes.
You know, we've been seeing that. I think the last statistic I seen was something like 50% or above of the people that get married will get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when God said one man, one woman for one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So we already know that that's not his will that happens. But the reason that it happens is because even in a marriage, a lot of people are not able to put that spouse first.
Mm-hmm.
First.
Uh-huh.
See, and if I, don't y'all know marriage is a covenant?
Yes, sir.
It's a covenant. That's right.
It's a covenant.
It's a blood covenant.
Between, yes, between you, that person, and God.
That's right.
Don't think he's absent from that, people. He's in that covenant. And all them guests you was trying to please with your nice finger sandwiches and big tall wedding cakes, they witnesses. They witnesses now. Those are witnesses. That's standing in there looking at this. You enter into this covenant with that person. Those are witnesses. And they, you may see them again if you don't stick it out.
Amen.
All right. Is it possible to see from God's perspective? Is that possible? Can we learn to see his ways, which are so much higher than ours? And we read that in Isaiah 55. The months of suffering in our family, we're talking about the writer of this lesson now, caused us to earnestly search and yearn for God himself and for his glory in us. We slowly realized that he was revealing to us his viewpoint of our pain. As we began searching in the Bible for ways to see all of life from his perspective. All of life, people. There's nothing that we'll encounter in life that's not covered in the Word of God.
Nothing.
God revealed new ways of seeing reality in every passage we studied. He began to see not only suffering from heaven's view. We began to see not only suffering from heaven's view, but also God himself. His nature and his attributes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you suffering, people,
come on,
God will show you so much of him.
Oh, Lord.
I'm talking about in his confidence. It is confident. Number one, we can take comfort in the fact that we ain't going through nothing that he already hadn't went through.
That's right. Amen.
He's in tune with the feelings of our infirmity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's in tune with them. We can't say God don't understand. There's no way. He knows it, people.
Amen.
All right. And our worship and prayers. Oh, they get so much better during them times now.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, from heaven's view. Because, number one, we looking for an escape from that whatever that anguish is that we're going through.
Right.
We looking for an escape from that anyway. So we'll escape to worship and to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Praising him. Seeking him, asking him for his help, for his deliverance in these situations,
right.
Which we should do it all the time, people.
Mm-hmm.
We have something to praise him for, to ask him, to worship him for,
mm-hmm.
something to ask him for at all times in our lives.
Amen.
I'm talking about in those fat seasons. We should be thanking him. We shouldn't. You shouldn't be able to get away from thanking him. Because if you've been through that lean season, you know it don't have to be like that. You know that. So you shouldn't be able to get away from thanking him. You know, and when he truly reveals himself to you, all the material things that the world counts as important don't mean as much to you anyway. It's just, it's your, give me this day my daily bread. Just get me through this day. And just like you handled yesterday and you handling this day, I ain't got to worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about it. So we should. We can't get away from praising him, y'all. God's use of process to bring his children to glory.
Amen.
See, a lot of us, pastors say it all the time, a lot of us going to go through that, going to barely get in with smoke bellowing off of us. Bellowing off of us. You know, a lot of us going to be scared. We done live such wretched lives. We're going to be scared to go in. You know, our man come and throw his hat in the door first.
Yeah, right.
And see if it come back out. Then I go in.
Amen.
See, but when you see things from heaven's view and you living your lives accordingly, you standing there waiting on to open the door. Because this is what you've been waiting on. You've been preparing for it your whole life, your whole saved life. Here, you've been preparing for that. Absolutely. And faith tells you that that's what it's going to be anyway.
Amen.
We live it by faith, people.
That's right. Amen.
God's perspective of temptation and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we can see it like that. I promise y'all we'll stay away from it.
Yes, Lord.
We can see it the way God sees it.
Right.
He already told us there's consequences to it.
Yes.
We got to pay for the evil that we do.
Oh, yeah.
There's consequences to it. God don't forget those things, brother. Just like Pastor used that as an example. Mama tell you that whooping coming. You might think you done got away because she done waited 2-3 weeks. Oh, I've been woke up in the middle of the night like that on a few occasions. Yeah, middle of the night. Make sure you're snoring real good. That's right. That's right. And wipe them off. Wipe them off the book then. But she get butter from the duck then. Look like mama will wait till she had the worst day at work and all that to come home get me. But God don't forget either. If mama can remember like that, how much more? And brother Nick always say, he say all the time, he said, Green, the Bible said God got a perfect wrath.
Yeah.
A perfect wrath, people.
A perfect wrath.
That's got to be a terrible thing, y'all. That's got to be a terrible thing. And there's one way we can see it, and that's deny his son.
All right.
Deny his son.
Yes, sir.
All right, we realize that the Bible, God's written word,
written word,
is really an explanation of how to see from heaven's view.
That's right.
Jesus, the incarnate word, is the model of how to live the reality of heaven's perspective. That's exactly what we were just saying, y'all. We got an example. We got a written word. We got it in writing. So if it's ever any question, it's an open book test.
That's an open book test. That's right.
What type of person did it take to flunk an open book test? I'm sure it's been done. And it's going to be some that flunk this one. Absolutely. More so than pass it. And that's a sad reality, y'all.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. And it's simple. It's not because you couldn't find the answers. It's because you wouldn't accept the answers that you found.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
So that's the thing. Do you believe that what we're reading here is true?
Amen.
It's true. Do you believe that Jesus is the Word? That's what matters, people. It's your belief. It's unbelief.
Yes, sir.
That gets you in hell.
That's right.
It's not that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because everybody gonna know.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether you believed it or not.
Amen.
So that's what we really need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Deceiving yourself ain't gonna change God's mind at all.
Amen.
Because you've deceived you. What do you think it means to see Jesus as the model for having heaven's perspective?
Mm-hmm.
So check any statements that apply.
Okay.
Number one, that we can see from Jesus' prayer life how he sought the Father's perspective.
Not my will, that's right.
Number two, and then you should have a check there.
Yeah.
So Jesus studied and used scripture as a way to see from heaven's view.
Amen.
That should be a check there.
Amen.
Number three, it said we need to think the way Jesus thought. Absolutely. The Bible tells us that. Renewing us to that mind. All right. Number four, by thinking like Jesus, we'll become equal to the Father. All right. Hold your ink pen right there now. Don't put your no check down now. Okay. All right. No equals there. Okay. Number five. By thinking like Jesus, we will see events from heaven's perspective. That's true. Check that. Number six, Jesus perfectly modeled a life that glorifies God. See, that's why we will be without excuse. He perfectly modeled that life. Then he had men inspired by his Holy Spirit to put it in writing. Then he preserved it from a bunch of evil men who had book burnings, tried to burn them, get rid of them, all the way to this day. And we have copies all over the place. I know I probably got, my wife testified, I guarantee, I probably got 10 Bibles at the house now. Bible in my truck. Bible, the word is everywhere. It's plentiful. It's plentiful. You go in a hotel to do your dirt, to go commit you some good fornication and all this and open the drawer and there's a Bible right there. Yeah, they're trying to get rid of it. Of course, they don't want that conviction to come because they saying that the world's saying nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
What you want to do, do what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, what your feelings gonna get you? It's a sad thing.
Amen.
All right, God reveals himself and his perspective through both the Bible and the incarnate life of Christ. All the answers except number 4 describe ways Jesus models sin from God's perspective. Living, okay, at the top of page 11, y'all. Living in God's glory. Oh, that sounds just wonderful, don't it? If you plan on doing right. Now, if you still got you some plans on doing your little more sin, and that don't sound too good to you. Oh, okay, yeah. I tell you what, we'll hold up right there, y'all. We'll start off right there. I'm going to take any more questions or comments that you may have about what we went over already.
Amen.
Pastor named Roy, Kevin. Okay. Yeah.
The world view is the reason we have some problems with our young people today is because of low self-esteem. But now, what did Jesus say about it? Is that Jesus' view?
No, that's the world's view.
Jesus said, love your neighbors as you love yourself.
Absolutely.
So he said, you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take care of other folk like you love yourself.
That's right.
Low self-esteem. You do love yourself, what Jesus said. And then he said, no man yet hate his own flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You love yourself.
That's right.
You love yourself.
That's right.
The problem today is
that low self-esteem.
Don't love yourself. He lied. You do love yourself.
That's right.
That's why you're so acting the fool, because you're so stuck.
Caught up in yourself. Yeah. Yeah. And he said in his word, Pastor, that you should esteem others more than yourself.
That's what he said.
Come on, sis.
Wow.
I tell you what, the Bible, that there you go. The culture is totally counter to the Bible. So it seems like it's a simple thing. It's what you choose to believe.
Amen.
Cause they're so opposite to you got to make a clear choice. It's a clear choice. Come on, Roy. No, you can't.
And you're walking in God's glory right there, in God's power.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen.
So, why would I keep lying to myself? And that's what I do now. Today, if I lie to myself and know it's wrong, and I know God's right there, and I'm working with God, and God working with me and training me, God's power and believing in Jesus, you shall have these problems.
Well, you're absolutely right, Roy, and lying to yourself. See, verbally lying to yourself is totally different when you can look at your life and see it's not lining up with what I'm telling myself.
That's right.
You know, I'm telling myself I'm walking with God and I'm in God's will, but I'm indulging in an adulterous relationship with a married woman and that I know is against the will of God, then that lie is so obvious to myself. Especially if the Spirit of God is in you, he's not going to let you be comfortable in no type of sin that you indulge in.
Oh, no.
Bro Harden.
Getting back to what Roy just said, you can't lie to yourself because all you're doing is deceiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving yourself wide open for whatever thing was the first. And that empty hall that was only made for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When you choose to be that dishonest with yourself, you can't point your finger at no one, God mainly, because you start having a lot of negativity in your life.
Oh, yeah.
It's simpler to expect blessings from above because you haven't been honest with an honest God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you what I know from experience. God shows me this every day. If I'm lining up and walking in his will and something's going on in my life, it's much easier to handle.
All right.
Much easier to handle than it is when I know I'm doing something wrong and something going wrong in my life. See, so then the Bible tells us from the beginning, we know the father of lies, did God really say? So we know where lies come from, whether it's me lying, myself or me lying to the pastor or me lying to my wife, I know where the lie came from. We have an enemy, y'all.
Yes,
we have an enemy. Come on, my bro.
Two radical things you said in your lesson today, brother, is that God speaks to us through the Bible. That's how God speaks today.
Right.
He speaks to us through his word in the Bible, and we speak back to him in prayer.
In prayer.
So there's a conversation going on.
Yeah.
And that's a radical statement.
That's right.
But one thing we kind of went over that we didn't X was thinking like Jesus, we will be equal to the Father. Of course, that's false. But there's a doctrine saying that if you think like Jesus, or if you're saved, if you're God's kid, you can speak things into existence.
You create power.
You can. You have this creative power to gain the things that you want. You have this power that if you lay your hands on someone, they will be healed. And that's a false false doctrine.
It is.
Saying that you're equal to God the Father.
Well, brother, that same, there's some in that same movement, in that same doctrine that says you are a God. That you are a God. Yeah. Give one more and we're going to close out. But it says you are a God, and we know that's all. How can you be part of God's creation and be God at the same time? Come on, Roy. Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay, we should, Roy. We should constantly commune with him. That's what he wants from his children. He wants us coming to him in prayer and even confessing our sin. But now, I mean, let me ask y'all this. You know, most of us have children or whatnot, but if I'm still dealing with, whether it be chastising or talking to him about or whatever with my son, the same thing I was 4 or 5 years ago. Don't you get a little tired of that? You think, hey, man, come on now. You need to be handling this. This is something you should, by now you should, if you've been listening to what I say, now every curve, every wall you hit, I done warned you before you got to that wall and you still running into, you should be getting through some of these things and getting them behind you. In other words, maturing, growing up, growing in the Lord. If you growing in the Lord, that sin nature is dwindling, people. It's got to be. It's got to be. There's no two ways about it. You know, if you're not growing, then sin hang around and hang on you. You know, and sometimes the devil will find you as a whooping boy. If he know all I got to do is come here with this and I got him. So we can shake that. We can shake that, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a deliverer. He gets us through things if we take advantage of the power that's been given us for that. All right. We'll close out right there, people, and pick up on page 11 on next week. Thank you. Prayers out.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.